You know, there's a moment here when I acted a little too quick, and so I have to untangle myself here. So we have our gentlemen in the corners for our prayer time and our prayer requests and our praise time. So if you have anything you'd like to share, go ahead and raise your hand today, and we got our gentlemen in our microphones that can get to you.
I'll just start it off.
All right.
Last week, we asked for any help with donations for sending off the Christmas boxes with the kids, Operation Christmas. And we have a very generous congregation. And so the kids and I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who offered money to get those boxes sent over. And I actually had to turn some people away because we got too much money. So just thank you so much for answering the call for anything that comes up with these kids. They had a great time packing 8 boxes, and they packed them full. They were packed full. So some kids will have a very Merry Christmas with those. So thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, and very much to the people that helped sponsor those, but also to the kids. Thank you much for just valuing other little kids in this world and be able to celebrate with them for the Christmas spirit. Thank you guys so much. Michelle?
Just want to remind you about the hats, mittens, and gloves, scarves. We still have boxes back there. Next Sunday will be the last Sunday that I'm collecting, and the congregation has not been doing their duty. We want to see if we can see who beats who, but in the end, we're all winners. So thank you.
All right. And so next Sunday will be the last day for that? Anyone else?
I had to have a biopsy done last week, and I'm hoping for favorable results.
Yes, praying for you along those lines. Sometimes the hardest thing is while we're waiting for those things. We thank you for sharing that with us, allowing us to be the church around you to celebrate. You're not alone in that. Thank you. Praying for Lorraine's results.
I have a joy.
Oh, sorry.
A joy. If you haven't been down in the fellowship hall, wait till you go down there and see this wonderful wall decoration that the UMW put up, right, Linda? Yeah, it's just gorgeous, just gorgeous.
So make sure if we weren't headed to the Wesley Hall to go down there and take a look at things to see how it's decorated. Fantastic. Anyone else? We do have another one.
I'm coming.
We just like him to have exercise.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, yesterday we had food and fellowship. We had, oh my goodness, we had a great time. We had 22 plus people, and we had a whole Pyrex bowl of macaroni and cheese casserole to die for. And all of a sudden we started smelling burnt stuff, and I thought, well, that wasn't filled enough that it should bubble over. Open the oven, and the entire bottom of that Pyrex dish had cracked, and everything flooded the bottom of the oven. Oh, my goodness, what a fiasco. And we could have used that because, you know, it was like the old West, boil water, you know. And we got some more macaroni going and everything. We didn't have time to, like, stick that one in the oven, so it had to be, like, stovetop macaroni and cheese, which just isn't the same. Anyway, we had a good time. We ate all the food, and we had some people take takeouts home to somebody who couldn't get there. And, you know, Dee Dee Stone, Tracy, Lillian, Beth Mavis, and I, we just had a grand time.
All right, celebration for that. Great. Well, I hope that's not a foretelling of what might happen this week coming up when we have a lot more at stake, right, for the family coming over and different things. So prayers for that. Anything else? Prayer requests and joys? I think just because we do have Thanksgiving coming up, that we would just keep our minds and our hearts of safe travel for everyone that's going to and from. And also, Thanksgivings might look a little different for some of us this year. And I think we have to remember that if there are some empty chairs that weren't there last year, that we are lifting our church family and neighbors up in prayer as we continue to celebrate all the abundance and good things we have in life, but could we just take a moment on that day and leading up to that their hearts will be wrapped up in the arms of the Lord. Anyone else? No? Do we have any announcements that are printed in the bulletin today? No, I draw you to the one on here. Mary, could I have you stand up for a second? Mary Nickel, could I have you just take a quick stand? I won't have you move anywhere, but you'll see on the back page that the commissioning service today over at Lexington, and Mary took part of those classes for 4 weeks on there, and it was leading about some small group things, and we just wanted to celebrate, in case we can't make it to Lexington, for your participation, as well as thankful for the celebration that you will be amongst your class and some others that graduated from the class today. Can we give her a hand for celebrating her opportunity today? And Bert gave you the mic if you'd like to say something.
Just like to say thank you for your support for over the past years and stuff. And it's been a blessing to be here and have this church be my family, my church family. Thank you.
Excellent. All right, and just another reminder that we do have on the 27th at 6 o'clock, we do have a charge conference here, right here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock on Monday the 27th. Any other announcements?
Oh, I got a couple quick ones. One, I'm still looking for people for the nursery, to staff the nursery. I had another one drop out yesterday or a couple days ago, so... if you're younger or older, Helen Henshaw does it regularly, and so anybody can do this, and you just have to have a little want to spend some time with some very wonderful, precious little people. Come and see me, just sign up for it, and we'll give you all the help that you need, and if we get enough people, we would only need to do it once every 3 months. Your turn would just be once every 3 months, so that's what we're looking for. The other thing is we can't always, all of us, give in big ways, but we can give in little ways to help our church continue to be able to operate. One of those ways is the supply tree in the back of the church. Go take a look at that. Those are little things that you can do when you are out grocery shopping for yourself. Pick up something extra for the church and bring it in. There's a basket at the back on Sundays, and that basket is down in the Wesley Hall entrance during the week, and you can bring in your stuff and put it in that basket anytime. Thank you.
Right. Gayla, thank you for those announcements, and you know, it's a great time to think of the supply tree, because so often with the holidays and entertaining for family get-togethers, a lot of that stuff happens to start going on sale, so it makes it a little more economic to take advantage of that now. Anyone else? No? Do we have any birthdays this week? Linda's already standing up.
The clipboards are going around again.
Oh, not a birthday. Not a birthday. Okay, not okay.
We're still announcing. The clipboards are going around again for donations for our soup supper, so okay. If you feel that you could help us out, please sign up. Thanks.
All right, those are going around. It's a great opportunity for a unique day in the life of Sandusky here to be able to sign up for the soup supper. Anyone else? What about any birthdays? Let's go back to the birthdays. Do we have any birthdays that are coming up? How brave, huh? Yay! Vicki, when's your birthday? Tuesday, fantastic. Is anyone sharing a birthday with Miss Vicki this year? Were you whispering a number, or are we just going to leave it at Tuesday? Tuesday's good. Okay, Tuesday's enough. Tuesday's enough information for us. Anyone else this week? Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. We're thankful that you'd have the courage to share with us that your birthday's coming up, and hope that Tuesday is a wonderful day that makes a lot of memories. We're thankful for you sharing that in the life of our church. Anyone have any anniversaries that are celebrated this week? Any anniversaries? No? Okay, well, let's begin by handing things over to our choir, our very talented and willing to use their God-given gifts to be able to anoint us and bring us to a space of worship.
We gather to
Father, we've entered that moment and prepared this holy space. Would you please join me in our opening prayer to ask for the Lord's blessing on our gathering? Almighty God, as this place has been prepared for us, we heard that sweet music remind us that you do not forget your own who have claimed the name of Christ in our presence here. Lord, would you be honored in our faithfulness? Lord, would you be honored in our sacrificial time that we give you, Lord, and would you anoint us with the power of your Holy Spirit to encourage us, to fill us with wisdom and power that comes only from your hand. Lord, would you take glory and be honored in all things that are said today, all the prayers that are lifted up, and the words that are sung. Lord, thank you for this day and this moment you've given us for worship and praise. In Christ's matchless and powerful name we pray. Amen. All right, if you could please stand, if you're able, we'll sing this song of our faith, number 144, This Is My Father's World. Number 144, This Is My Father's World. You may be seated. All right, and as we find our seats, we have the children's time coming up, so I'd like to ask the kids to come up today to be with us. This is a time where if you haven't been with us in a while, or maybe it's your first time, we do celebrate and have some time set aside for the kids, for them to come up before their time during Sunday school downstairs. So come on up if you can. Kids, as you're making your way up here, you know, one of the things that's really exciting is we get to see each other sometimes passing by in the school hall, and it's so neat to be able to see some of you there at the school. You guys can go ahead and you want to sit down there or sit up on the pew. It's okay. We don't want to have you stand the whole time if you don't want to. Yeah. Is that sometimes we get to see each other sometimes, right? And we wave, don't we, when we see each other? It's a great greeting, isn't it, when we see each other at times in the school, whether it's in the cafeteria or in the hallway. And we're just thankful that we can be able to recognize each other, right? You know, sometimes we recognize each other because we spend this time together in church, don't we? But, you know, isn't it interesting that sometimes you could see other kids, whether it's in maybe the store, you know, the grocery store or something like that? And do you know that have you ever ran across a child, a kid like your age, that you didn't know who they were, you didn't recognize them? Yeah, sometimes. Would you guys agree? Sometimes you see some people you don't know? Yeah. A lot of times to see some kids. Well, it's interesting because we talked about that we're familiar with each other because we worship, right, together, we're in church together, and we see each other. And, you know, sometimes it's easy for us to look at each other, and when we wave, to know that we believe in Jesus because we know each other from here, from church, right? But I wonder how many times when we look at other people's faces that maybe we're not sure if they know Jesus or not. Do you think that's true, that it's hard to tell just by looking at somebody if they believe in Jesus or not? And so wouldn't it be nice if we knew people right away, kind of like we do in church here, and knew right away if they were Christians or not, right? So when we wave, we just have that extra big smile of like, yes, you believe in Jesus too. Or if they didn't, then maybe it would give us the courage to share how much we love Jesus with them, right? So one of the things that we've been trying to do that you guys have done a really good job of is that we've tried to memorize some scripture, right? So it can come to our minds. And last week, if you were here, we did some motions. Now, we've been practicing. Does anyone remember the scripture verse? Ooh. Does anybody think they might be able to get through it? You think so? That sounds pretty good. Now, do you remember the motions? No? Well, do you want to come up and try to say it? So, no, you don't want to say it? If I give you this, can you say it into the microphone? You don't have to turn around. You can sit right there. Is that okay? Would you like to try it? No, maybe not. You did a really good job. I think you had it. Yeah, you probably already. Wait a second. Did you read that from up on the TV? No? You just knew that from your heart? That's fantastic. Good stuff. Well, we're going to try that again. Let's see if we can say it, okay? Let's see if we can say it. And if we need a little help with the motions, we can try to do that, okay? So I'm going to count to three. Then what comes after three? Four, of course. So I'm going to say three, and then when I should say four, that's what we're going to go, okay? One, two, three. I can do all things in Jesus' name because he gives me strength. That was pretty good. I heard a lot of your voices there, didn't you? Should we ask the congregation to see if they remember? Should we ask them to join us in this one? Huh? You already read it off there? Well, that's okay, right? Can we ask everyone here to help us out? Now, same rules, okay? We're going to count to three, and where I should say four, we're going to give it a shot, okay? All right, everybody, we want to lead them in this, okay? Because it's important that they memorize this, too. One, two, three. I can do all things in Jesus' name because he gives me strength. I think we're on our way to memorizing this, don't you? I mean, it sounds that they're doing a pretty good job. Can we give the congregation a hand for learning the message or the verse for us as well? Good job, guys. Really short, isn't it? It helps when it's not a long one. Yeah, sometimes we've got to shorten them up, don't we, to make sure we have them. So let's go ahead and get in our prayer positions so we can give God the glory here and bless us before we get together for Sunday school, okay? Let's bow our heads and fold our hands and close our eyes. And you guys say these words after me, okay? Can we try that? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and giving us your strength to do anything that you've called us to do. We ask you bless our time in Sunday school, bless mom and dad, and everyone gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and do we have the flag over there, or is it over here for me this time? It's over there. Now, can everybody stand up and line up, and we'll get everybody together? Tell you what, we might need to get some binoculars to see everybody on both sides, because they start getting smaller the longer we have to look out, isn't it? So we're thankful for your time today. All right, and as they're finding their way down, now I have to tell you, when they sang the Lord's Army last week, you know, you start remembering those motions that you know them, and I was getting kind of excited to do the motions for the scripture today, but I have to say, I guess if we don't need them to remember, that's a good thing, right? So we're thankful that the kids remembered that, and it's just as important, dear friends, for us to be able to remember those things too, and that's a really great verse for us to remember. As the kids are finding their way down, as we've had in a tradition since the beginning of the year, and I know that probably seems like a long time ago for some of us in January, but we started something that was really important to us to not only give us voice, but to be able to remind ourselves and everyone who hears how good the Lord has been in our lives. And at this time, I would like to ask Helen to come up today to share with us her story. And as she's making her way up, I wanted to say today that we are thankful for each and every story that we've received, and as we find ourselves getting towards the end of the year, we probably won't have these as regularly, but if there's something that you wanted to share, please connect with the office or with Russ and let us know, because we still want to have those opportunities. It just might not be as regular when we have those things, because we all have stories to share and they're all important. Helen, whenever you're ready, we would sure love to hear your story this morning.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be. Is this on? Okay. I'm thankful for the chance to share my testimony with everybody today. And I want to tell you first, before I share, I've enjoyed everybody's testimony the last few weeks. And I think it's very important that we share our testimonies with each other. I have to go way back because I'm probably the oldest one in here. Virg says he's going to tell you how old I am, but I'm not telling. But I was not raised in a Christian home. My parents never went to church, but they did send the youngest of 12 of us in my family. My parents had 12 children, 6 boys and 6 girls. They sent us to a little church in the country, one-room church called the Elmer Free Methodist Church. And several of my relatives went there too. But there was one lady, I didn't know what a Christian meant, because we never had any training from home. This one lady was my Aunt Effie Stone, my sister's, my mother's oldest sister. She was a real example of my first Christian I ever met. As I watched her life in that church, she had so many tragedies and troubles, but through it all, she remained steadfast. And I remember saying, and I was a young girl way back then, and I remember saying, when I grow up, I want to be just like my Aunt Effie. But this didn't happen for many years after that. When I was 18 years old, I left Sandusky and went to Port Huron to work. I lived there for the next 65 years. And on January the 25th, 1945, before many of you here were ever heard of, probably, I found a church there in Port Huron where I went every Sunday to church there. And they had revival meetings. And on January the 25th of 45, I began my brand new life. And now I got to stop and think what I was going to say. Oh, my old things passed away and all things became new. And I was so happy. I had to send letters to my folks, my family back home here in this area. First letter I got back in reply was from my sister Margaret Strickler, Virgil's mother. She rejoiced with me. She was a Christian too. And I still have that letter, Virge. I'm still hanging on to it. It's a treasure. She sent me a Bible verse that I have never forgotten. In Revelation, King James, it says, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I married a young, wonderful Christian man that I had met at that church, and we had 48 years together, married life. Then the Lord took him home to be with him. We had two grown sons that had started their families, so, and didn't live near us, so I had a twin brother here in Sandusky. Probably many of you know who he is, who he was. He delivered fuel oil for many years here for Standard Oil, Hubert Stone. He was my twin. He kept urging me and urging me to come back to Sandusky, move back here so I wouldn't be alone. I realized afterwards why. Hubert passed away, and in 2009 I moved up here. Hubert even brought me application forms to fill out to rent an apartment, senior apartment at Sunrise Village, where I'm now living. And in 2009, I moved back up here to Sandusky. I spent two good years with Hubert and his wife, Marion. Hubert passed away in 2011. About 3 years ago, I started losing my eyesight. As you noticed, B had to help me up here this morning. I can't see any of you. So if you're making faces at me, I can't see you. So, and if you leave quick, I can see you go. I can see motion. But where I'm living, it's really a nice place. They know I can't see unless they get right within 3 or 4 feet from me, then I can see them. So God gave me good ears to listen, and they let me know who they are, and I can recognize their voices when I can't see them. So anyway, back to my sister Margaret. When she sent me that Bible verse, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown," I spent some precious times with Margaret and, well, it'd be Virgil's mom and dad, because they were Christian people. But about 3 years ago, I started losing my eyesight with macular degeneration. Probably many of you here know what that is. My right eye is gone, no sight in my right eye, my left eye partial. So I take shots in my eye. I had to sell my car because I couldn't see to drive anymore. And I'm thankful for Virgil and Bee and Helen Henshaw for bringing me to church. And I'm thankful for the friendliness of the people of this church that I found. I'm thankful for Pastor Matt's messages that I now hear on my radio in my apartment, because I can't see to come to church anymore, unless B and Verge help me. But one more thing I'm glad for, and I saw it this morning here, but I hear it on my radio. The pastor has a children's message. These little children are learning Bible verses. This is very important, as I have learned at my age so many years after. In Sunday school, I memorized verses. And now that I can't see to even read my large print Bible, I have to rely on those memory verses that I've learned in Sunday school and church in my growing up years. So, just give me a minute. Well, I'll tell you before Virg has a chance. I'm 93 years old, so I'm probably the oldest one in this congregation. So you have to make allowances for me. But one thing I wanted to finish with, one of my favorite Bible scripture is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And last night I heard the minister on TV give this same verses, these same verses in his sermon last night on TV. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not under your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And he does. And finally, I want to tell you that someday, not too far off, I'm going to have 20/20 vision. And I'm going to thank my Savior face to face. I'm going to see him, thank him for all he has done for me. And I'm holding fast to what I have, and no one is going to take my crown. Thank you for listening.
Can I have you hang on here for just a second? I'll let you come back over here so nobody might see how nervous you might be. Is that okay? We'll hide you back here.
That's because I can't see to read them.
Right, it wouldn't help to carry any notes up here, but I need you. I know sometimes that you said you can't really see if they're making faces, but can you tell that they're standing up?
I can see that. I can see motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity where we just wanted to say thank you so much for enduring the challenges and showing the courage it takes to come back into a place like this that's difficult to get through, that you need assistance. Helen, because your words we needed to hear today.
Well, I'm glad that I have a testimony to share.
We thank the Lord for that testimony that he put on your heart to share with us today. Can we just allow her to receive that love again for being here and making it a point to share us with us also? Thank you very much. As Helen makes her way to her seat, there's another opportunity here in that moment as she's finding her way back to her seat. Is obviously she shared with us that you know, the challenges of not having your sight and it's starting to deteriorate, those kind of things. Can we see that it is difficult with any kind of regularity to be able to make it here with us? But dear friends, here is the call. Here is the heartfelt call. She said she's thankful for everyone here in this place. She's thankful for the welcome and experience at this church, the friendship she's made and the family that she's made. Helen lives right down the road. She said the Lord blessed her with ears that she will listen. And I think as we understand, the older we get, there is some wisdom that comes in 93 years. And we can hear that joy and that wisdom of how powerful, and I'm so glad that she said it today, those same verses those kids are learning, maybe one day, if there's some sight limitations for them, they will remember the verses they learned here in this place, and they will give her hope in life, the boys and the girls. Please, stop by. Say hello. Tell her you appreciated her testimony today. Stop by and just have a conversation with her. Sometimes I asked Helen before the service, sometimes we just need to know that it's okay to stop by, that we're invited. Here is your invite. Stop by. Stop by and talk your ear off. In this moment, that is our tradition, as we think about all those moments and we lift up those prayers, and to know, even as Helen demonstrated today, that we don't need to necessarily see to be able to offer heartfelt prayer. We need to simply offer it. As is our tradition, would you please join me in saying the Lord's prayers that are inspired from Jesus' own words in Scripture? Could we say together as one body and one voice, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our anthem this morning is a Thanksgiving prayer, as you see printed in your bulletin. In the files downstairs, I'm in the process of putting all the choir music on a database so that I can sort it by subject area, but I'm only about halfway through doing it. I think we have up to about maybe 350 pieces of music, so just to know how much music we do, the church does have, that we have choices to sing. And so maybe other years I'll find other Thanksgiving music, but pretty much for most every year I've been here, the anthem the choir sang last Sunday, Thanks Be to God, in today's Thanksgiving prayer, are usually done most every November in this congregation. So maybe they'll sound familiar to you, maybe they won't, because we did go last year without a choir, but I just get a thrill coming back and singing some of the old familiar things that have just a wonderful message to them. And I think after Helen's talk, just a Thanksgiving prayer is just very fitting to follow up that with. I had two anthems, as I say, for Thanksgiving we are going to sing. and the way I chose which to do which, and it must be God working through us, is the one that the choir sang last Sunday. I don't know if anybody noticed, but it was the first Sunday since I began leading choir I wasn't able to be here. Before I accepted the challenge to lead choir this year, I had accepted doing a United Methodist Women Sunday in Ferndale. So I was in Ferndale doing UMW stuff last Sunday while Bob and the choir took over, and I sure did a very fine job without me. But I chose that one for last Sunday because it ended very quietly. And I chose this one this year because although it sounds like it might be a quieter song, it ends on a high point and hopefully will be very loud when we sing it. So listen carefully to the words of a Thanksgiving prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
thank you as always for sharing that message with us in a unique way that sometimes only music can. As the choir finds their seats, we're thankful for that message and combining some of those different songs to be our Thanksgiving prayer. And it's reminding of that moment of familiarity when singing a portion, we gather together. Is that interesting when we think about our congregational worship life, that we gather together for what purpose? To share in the Lord's abundant blessing. We gather together in His name and all different walks as individuals to share in the blessing that the Lord has given us. Last week, we kind of left off. Have you ever been where you maybe either read a book or you're watching a television program and you can see the time ticking away and you realize probably not going to get there to conclusion, and so it's a second part of things from last week, so I hope it doesn't eliminate, I don't think, too many people, but this comes from John 4, and we're not going to read the entire passage that is there, but I would ask if you weren't able to join us last week or weren't able to tune in last week to take a look at that in whole, because we'll be picking up where we left off. And this has to do with the encounter of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. And this is the longest, as far as text conversation, that's recorded in the Gospels of Jesus. And so we're going to take a look here at a portion of the scripture. I'm going to start on verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," because his disciples had gone ahead of him into the city to buy food. Verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Because in those times, Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks that drank from it?" Verse 13, Jesus replied to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again one day. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never again be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a wellspring of eternal life. A wellspring of life gushing up into eternal." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming to this water, this well, to draw water." Verse 16. Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband and then come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus then replied, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you are with now is not your husband. What you have said is true." Verse 19. The woman then said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on the mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus said in verse 21 to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming soon when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is to come from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here upon us, when the true worshipers will worship of the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in all truth and all spirit." Verse 25. The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming. They call him Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Then the disciples came, and they were astonished that they found Jesus talking with a woman. But no one dared question, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" They just let the woman go, and she left her water jug behind and went back to the city. She said to her people, "Come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city where they were on their way to him. And I'll jump down to verse 39 as I did last week. Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She said, "He told me everything I have ever done." So in verse 40, when the Samaritan came to see him, they asked him to stay with them, and he did for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And finally in verse 42, they said to the woman after, "It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Last week, We talked a lot about the things leading up to what was here and revealed in this moment that things aren't always the way they've been portrayed because of what Scripture reveals and what it doesn't reveal. And it's in these moments, when we look at this gospel account, according to John, this longest text conversation as far as length that is in the gospel, we look at this, and there's obviously a lot there for us to unpack. And we unpacked some of that last week. And we left off with this woman declaring that Jesus was a prophet because he did what? He explained and told her everything she'd ever done. So there's obviously some more things here that they talked. And as it began to reveal more and more, when Jesus began to spend time with her and she had this encounter with Jesus, as more and more time was spent, more was revealed, right? More relationship was there, more time was given. And when that time was sufficient, even the disciples had come back. Now, I wonder what this moment is when you're kind of having this unique moment with Christ, and then all the disciples come back, okay? And then it must have taken on a different type of opportunity there with people looking on. Now, they had come back with provisions, right, because they went into the city. So here's that moment, and then she leaves. And I'd like us to think about this a little bit for not just her journey, but for ours. So here she has this encounter with Jesus, this life-changing encounter, and why was she even here to begin with? Jesus didn't email her ahead of time and set an appointment that we're going to be here, and chances are it's not like he said, oh, there's a woman at the well to the disciples. You go ahead, and I'm just going to visit with her, because they came back wondering why she was talking. The idea here, dear friends, is that when Jesus met her where she was, in her circumstance, in her daily life, she was there for a reason. It was routine. This is what her daily task looked like. This is what her daily routine looked like. Jesus interrupted that in a really beautiful way, but Jesus interrupted what she had plans to do, that she set out that day to do, her routine. And because of that life-changing encounter with Jesus, when she left with such purpose. She left with such intention. She had something on her heart that she needed to share with people, that the very thing that brought her to this encounter with Jesus, she left her bucket at the well. That was the whole reason she was there. But she left with such intent to share about this encounter with Jesus that she left her daily life right there because Jesus interrupted the normal daily living and offered her something more. My dear friends, I know because some of you have shared with me or because we find ourselves here and it's not most of our first time worshiping together or spending time together, but I do want to ask this out there. I'm not going to ask for hands, but just this question to each of us. In light of the Scripture, have we encountered Jesus in our lives? Have we ever really encountered Jesus? An encounter doesn't mean that you rub shoulders or you pass each other on the street. But when we were going about our daily lives, did we have an encounter with Jesus that changed everything since that encounter? Did we receive that change on our hearts in that moment? In that encounter that we shared with other people in our lives, what this encounter meant. Dear friends, have we ever truly encountered Jesus that it was so overwhelming or changes need to be made in our lives that we left our bucket at the well, that we left who we thought we were, what tasks that we thought defined us, and we were willing to leave that there because a life with Jesus was that important to forget who we were before. And as Helen shared, a new journey was about to begin. Now, when we gather together as the church and we think about this encounter in Scripture, what did she do? She left in such a hurry because it wasn't a bathroom break. I don't say that in jest, but you know we can hurry along somewhere if we have a need. She hurries back to her home city.
She left because she had people that needed to hear before Jesus left, right? Because his crew came back, right? The disciples came back. We don't know if they'd said how long they were going to be there. She had urgency. You need to meet this prophet. You need to meet this Jesus. And I say this Jesus, but just, again, she didn't seem like she fully understand, or at least the context here, of who Jesus was. How many times has Jesus revealed himself in Scripture and people still didn't quite get it, right? And I would submit to you, how many times do we struggle with words or ways to fully explain who Jesus is and how Jesus affects our lives? So even sometimes we, right, who gather in Christ's name for the sake of our love for him and his sacrifice for us, and we still have a hard time articulating that. It doesn't mean that we have to have all the answers to share Christ with people and give them an invite. What she was doing is she was evangelizing. She was sharing her stories of we had pushed through this entire year. There was this newness. There was a life-changing encounter, and she wanted to tell her community about it. And in Scripture it says, she told the people that knew her after she left her jar and went back to her city. She told her people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Can he be the Messiah? They left the city and were on their way to him. For a variety of reasons, we talked a little bit last week about why the woman could have been encountered at the well, perceived to be at her lonesome in the middle of the day at this moment, maybe wanting to take that time for herself. But here's that moment where her routine was interrupted. She didn't even hustle back with water. She wanted to get there because the water can wait. The water can wait. Jesus is what it's about. My dear friends, I would submit to you, in the busyness of our lives, and would you agree that we're at the busiest that we've ever been in the history of this world? And we're more accessible than we have ever been in the history of this world. We are the type of people who have to look at our phone and our calendar to be able to tell you what we're doing because it's so jam-packed with stuff. And if you want to do something, you might be on a 3-week waiting list because we got that much time packed up. This woman stopped everything. Whatever she had going on the rest of the day, who might have been waiting on her and her household with that water, because Jesus said, I can offer you something that will never make you thirsty again. Your soul will never be in want. You'll never be questioning again, am I enough? Because of Jesus' grace, we are enough. A woman who had been judged because of the society limits, because of value and worth of what you brought to the table, she met the Savior who loved her beyond degree, who didn't categorize her, who didn't measure her worth. That Savior you're waiting for, that spot in your life that isn't been fulfilled by any other need or desire in your life, I am the Savior that will fill that hole. And it will never be wanting again. I am he. That Christ that will make everything new. I am he, Jesus said to her. That person you're longing for, that person that will deliver you. I am he. And when she heard those words, there's a whole city of people who need to hear that truth. It reminds us here at the end of chapter 4. Many Samaritans from the city, in verse 39, believed in him because of the woman's testimony. It wasn't because Jesus worked a miracle for them or that they were some scholar told them or somebody of rank. This woman that's given the name Samaritan woman, not even classified as what her name is, this Samaritan everyday person said to the people, Jesus told me everything I have ever done. With her witness and testimony, many Samaritans came. And when they encountered Jesus, when they encountered the Savior of this world, when they encountered Jesus, they didn't want to let him go. After sharing a little bit of time, an encounter with Jesus, they said, can you just stay with us a little bit longer? And Jesus said, yes. He stayed for a couple more days. And many more believed because of Jesus' word. And in verse 42 it says, they then said to the woman, it is no longer because what you have said that we believe, For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, this, for all of its unpacking in Scripture, there's a simple invite not to be missed there. This woman had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. She spent a little bit of time with Jesus that day, and she left what was important to her for the new life that Jesus promises and offers. She took that invitation. She told everyone she loved, just come and see. Come and see for yourself. He promises it to everybody. You'll never believe what happened. Just come with me and see. Just come. I'm out of breath. I can't fully articulate, but he's the one. He's the one we've been waiting for. Just come and see. Follow me. He's right down the road. Follow me. This woman invited all these people, and they would come and see for themselves, because she was courageous and bold to not keep this life-changing news to herself. She knew that other lives would be changed and impacted if they just encountered this Jesus for themselves. We share our stories. We talk about the need to share what Jesus has done in our lives, because it can be our invitation, dear friends, that changes a city. This woman was not even named. And what it's saying is that you don't have to have the stature or power or presence of Nicodemus to do these kind of things. You can be an unnamed person. We can be looking everyday common. We can be approachable. We can be in these moments if we simply have an invite to invite people into our lives and say, this is what Jesus has meant for me. This is what an encounter in my life that Jesus encountered me. And it changed everything. My dear friends, when we listen, if we remember from Bobby Frohner sharing, to be bold and courageous, to be unashamed of the name Jesus, to be unashamed of the cross, to be unashamed of claiming our faith in Jesus. When we own that and we share that, lives can be changed. Lives will be changed. We can be the people that give that invite. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and taste and know that you'll never be hungry or thirsty again. We can be the bearers of that invite, because, my dear friends, is there any greater news? Would you agree that we need all the hope we can get in this world? The hope that Christ offers us will never, never be empty. Can we be willing to invite people to come and see, to come and encounter Jesus for themselves? Think of it this way. It might seem simply put or naive, but what do you have to lose by being the invitation to encounter Jesus? What do we have to lose? The better question for us to ask by inviting others to share their own encounter with Jesus, just to come and see. What can be gained for those that are lost? Or I've forgotten. What hangs in the balance? Everlasting life in 2020 vision. What hangs in the balance? What stands to be gained? Life that's new. Life that's everlasting. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. When we think about the invitations that we've been given throughout this
this life and the countless ways the Lord has provided for us. As we go upon this season of thanksgiving, of assurance, this is our opportunity to give back to the Lord as He has already blessed us with, to match and say thank you for the provider. Gifts that are brought and about to be blessed in your name, we give you endless thanks, Lord. And we would ask that you would see them be stewarded, that every need would be met, Lord, that you would be able to multiply them so that others would receive the invitation, that others would receive the nourishment that would never again leave them wanting. Lord, that so your name would be known in this world. We give these things all in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right. Can we sing together this great song of our faith? Of sometimes when we question what the future may hold or what even this afternoon may hold. Number 369, Blessed Assurance. My dear friends, we have just sang and affirmed, this is my story, this is my song. We've asked us to share our stories and continue to share our stories. It doesn't say we praise our Savior from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Sunday, all the day long, to be an invitation for this world to receive. This week, when we go forward and lay our tables and our spreads and our abundance of food, can we see that we will still be left hungry come Friday, but we can invite this world to partake of a meal and a drink that will never again leave hunger and questions to a world in need, a world that's starving. Could this be our story and song as we go forward to be the hands and feet of our Savior? Could we go encouraged and strengthened by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be the invite givers of this world?